I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Come, let us worship God.
Because we do not always live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, we confess our sins and shortcomings before God to one another. In repentance, let us stand as we are able and turn towards God's generous grace. It seems we cannot decide, O God. This is the good news. There is no ranking in God's kingdom. God graces everyone with the same gifts, mercy, and restoration and new life.
to me, right? Oh, finally, it's on. Now maybe it won't clatter. Hello? Hello? Here, give me the poet. You're too big for that. I'll do it. How about that? Yeah, that makes you happier? Cool. You are getting big. What grade are you in? Fifth grade, no wonder. Goodness me. Well, hello? Hello? How are you? Good. I'm good too, except I'm sad. You're sad, okay. Do you want to know why I'm sad?
Why?
Well, because I was running a race, and this kid over here came up and pushed me down, and I was winning until then. And then I fell, and I hurt my knee. I hurt my knee, and I could not finish the race. Was that fair?
No.
No. Wasn't fair at all. This guy was icky. Blech. So do you think what should happen next? You don't know. What would you do if you got pushed down? Would you ask for an apology?
Yeah?
Yeah? So maybe I should do that? Hey, dude. Hey, blue dude. Would you please apologize? Nope. I'm going to go take my winnings. Oh, dear. That's really sad. You know, the sad thing is that sometimes people are kind of cruel, aren't they? Yep. Sometimes life isn't fair. But do you know what? Jesus says that those who get pushed over in races and fall down and can't finish the race are just as good as the rest of the world. Okay? That they are loved, they are cherished, and that God's going to take care of them. You see, God doesn't take care of just the crazy guys that knock people over. God loves us all and makes sure that we have what we need. You know? And that's really the most important thing. God is always there. And God will take care of this little purple guy so that he can get up and run again. Okay? You want to say a quick prayer? Hold my hand. She can hold my hand because it's not my hand. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us when times are not fair to us. Thank you for making sure that we know you love us, even in the craziest, crummiest times. Help us to then show your love to others so that they can know that they're loved by you too. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. And I'll remember that puppets are no longer the thing. Well, thank you again. We are going to continue reading Matthew today. We're not reading chapter 19, though. We were in 18, and now we're skipping forward to chapter 20. And it's an old story, an old parable that you probably know. But listen now for God's word to God's people. From Matthew 20, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out in the early morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us, and who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when I was young, I kind of hated my last name. Not that I wanted to be a Jones or a Smith, and well, yeah, I kind of didn't like the nickname Bow Wow. The truth was, I wanted a name that wasn't always at the beginning of the alphabet. You see, the kids with names that begin with an A or a B always had to sit at the front of the classroom. Now, looking back, I realized the teacher did that so she could learn our names. But at the time, I felt as though I was, well, I don't know if it was being punished, but I sure couldn't get away with anything. I was always being watched. And to me, the teacher's system simply wasn't fair. I wanted to be in the back row where she couldn't see me pass notes. I wanted to be last. Many years later, during a Bridges Out of Poverty class, a student told us that she felt as though she was always last in line for the good things in life. For her, the economic system wasn't fair. Now, Matthew's story about vineyard workers seems to hinge on fairness, right? Here, Jesus tells the disciples about a group of unemployed men who've gathered in the town square looking for day work. For whatever reason, they did not have what we'd call regular jobs. Instead, they did odd jobs to earn money so that they could feed their families. It was pretty normal back then. Each of these men held on to a very thin thread with which to stitch life together. Now, that kind of life would feel demoralizing to many people. They might worry that others would think of them as lazy losers, you know, with the big old L on their forehead. Like they'd never get ahead. They might have even felt resentment towards anyone who'd hire them for the day, you know, they were thinking perhaps was that guy too good to get himself dirty working for a living? What makes him think he's so much better than we are? That kind of grumbling, it can be heard even today. And while I don't want to oversimplify things or speak for those who do have these feelings, I wonder if there isn't a bit of envy and a lot of broken pride lying beneath these mutterings. Not only that, but we all want the world to be fair to us. We all don't want to be pushed down while we're running races. In fact, fairness is a value that society has etched deeply into our beings. We want our kids to play sports that treat both teams equally. Playing fair is important. And we don't want someone to be hired just because the boss's daughter is who that person is. Now, she may be nice enough, but is she qualified to do the work in a way that benefits the company? We definitely want the laws of the land applied fairly and equally. Isn't that the point of having trials by 12 peers and maintaining judges? We absolutely want everyone else to conform to our concept of fairness. If they'd only do just that, life would be far less complicated, right? And last but not least, like the men in the vineyard, we want to be paid fairly for our day's work. And it's this last expectation that seems to be in contention in Jesus' parable. As pay was being handed out for their efforts, the men who were hired early in the day became irritated. They felt the boss was behaving unfairly by giving out equal pay to the workers brought on later in the shift. When you're tired and achy from all the physical labors of the day, and when your attitude may already be tinged by a sense of negative self image, it's easy to speak out in less than helpful ways. It's easy to grouse and grumble about such labor practices. Perhaps you can hear them in your mind. Those men should have been paid less and gotten the least. A friend and a colleague of mine from the Lake Erie area is a poet. He's 90 years old, and he is still writing like mad. And he's written about this very parable. His name is George Bell, and the poem that he's written is, okay, now I've seen it.
I'm going to call the union on this one. That guy over there got the same pay as I did, and I worked hard all day. He only worked an hour or two at the best. Not fair. I'm out of here. No justice, no equality. Clear out favoritism. This is not the way it is supposed to be. Rewards are earned in the world. Competition is what measures things. Loyalty and experience count in every job. You cheated us and taught him that he does not need to work. What do you say to that, Mr. Rich Guy? Why did you even think of going to look for more help? How dare you be so unfair and cruel to us who worked so hard? If this continues, I'm out of here, and I'm telling everyone about you. I hope your grapes rot and you lose your vineyard.
Sour grapes? Oh, yeah. And what is this about rewards being earned in this world? Well, yeah, we do expect to be paid for our work, but aren't rewards reserved for outstanding accomplishment? Did the grumbling Gusses produce proportionally more than the late hires? Not only that, but Jesus didn't say the first workers negotiated a contract for any man the boss hired on to help with the harvest. This contract was just between each individual man and the landowner. What makes them think they can control how that man negotiates with anyone else or deserve more than anyone else? Since when did it become fair for them to dictate how much pay others receive? There's wisdom from an ancient tradition that says, you don't look into your neighbor's bowl to see if you got exactly what the other guy has. The only time you look into that bowl is when you want to be sure he has enough. The landowner paid the first laborers as they had bargained. Why those men didn't ask for more when they were hired in is anybody's guess, which leaves readers to assume the wage must have been deemed fair. Jesus even says it was the usual daily wage. And yet here they were, looking into the later hires' bowls, thinking that if those guys got the full day's wages, they should get more. No wonder they complained about fairness when that didn't happen. Jim Schumacher, please correct me if I mispronounce this. I am not a Latin scholar. Do ut des. Do ut des. Travelers to ancient Roman sites often see do us des, des inscribed above a shrine built to honor their favorite god. It means, I give, so you may give. The point is, the man who built the shrine wanted that god to act towards him as generously as he was acting towards the god. The shrine was someone's way of trying to bargain with that god. You know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Kind of like Jacob did when he built the pillar of stone to God at Bethel. You know, the first workers were also trying to bargain with the owner. And it was not working. The boss reminds them it's his vineyard and his money and he can do with it as he will. And then he asks one last question. Are you envious? Because I am generous. And there it is. Their desire for equity was really an act of greed propelled by their jealousy and resentment of those hired late in the day. Their response was not a desire for fairness. It was from their desire to have it all at the other's expense, kind of like pushing somebody down in the race as you run past them. Even so, the boss behaved in an honorable way towards those first workers. And considering their rudeness, that's rather generous of him, don't you think? Quite actually, that vineyard owner paid all of his workers from a place of compassion. It didn't matter if the first workers had even gathered a ton more grapes than expected for their shift. And the fact that the last workers were only employed for an hour made no difference at all. The owner was looking into everyone's bowl to be sure all had enough with which to live. The boss cared for them all. Even hiring workers late in the day was an act of compassion. I mean, those guys were just standing there hoping and praying and not getting anywhere. The way the story is told makes it feel that this boss wanted to be sure that all, first and last, were fed. While I suspect God wants us to behave honorably and fairly towards others, I believe God is more concerned with how generous we are towards the folks who are not hired until the end of the day. Looking back, my friend George has the Mr. Rich Guy responding to his workers with these words.
"Done with your tirade, sir? It is obvious that you do not understand me or what I do. As you see, my standards are different. I mean, they include everyone and all I have created. My love is not confined by human rules or limited by your attempt to be just. Why do you not seek out those who had no opportunity? Why do you hire and fire based on your need, not on theirs? Why is your judgment confining and limited? Don't you understand what love is? My love is without measure."
My friends, human systems are rarely, if ever, fair. We try, but we cannot help but fall short. But this parable isn't really about fairness, is it? It's about God and how God's gracious, generous, compassionate love is without measure and is poured out upon all, regardless of where they stand in line, first or middle or even 11th hour laborers like you and like me. And with these words, Jesus calls all who worship him to go and do likewise. May it be so. Amen. I would invite David to come back and lead us in the affirmation.
Please rise as you are able and join me to state what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand.
It's a wonderful day out. We have been greatly blessed. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. Dear God, you are unending mercy and steadfast love. We praise you for this glorious late summer day. The coolness of the morning and the whispers of color that hint at the arrival of fall. We are glad to live in this beautiful place and to be able to share it with families and friends. We are grateful that you are slow to anger, for there is much wrong in this world, and often we are set against your purposes. Oh God, though we look around and are overcome by the injustices committed in the face of your justice, and ask that you overtake our lust for revenge with your great mercy. Lord, we pray for all nations, especially those locked in anger against one another. May they be set free of old patterns and find new ways to relate to their neighbors. We pray, too, for all who wield power in this world, not just political leaders, but leaders in business and education and all the places that provide in this world. Help them to notice those who are last as well as those who are first. Help them to have compassion for all who are vulnerable, especially the day laborers of the world, the unemployed and the homeless. Inspire us to share what we have, not in measured and resentful amounts, but gladly, as if our possessions were more than enough for ourselves, so that the needs of the last can be met. We ask that you encourage your body on earth, the church, in continuing your work of compassionate care. We especially pray for our sister churches in Marietta, Belpre, Caldwell, Old Washington, Norwich, and Cambridge. We lift up to you those who seek your healing touch, those who are estranged from loved ones, those who grieve a loss. We continue to pray for the well-being of all who are suffering from the effects of hurricanes and wildfires. Hold them close enough so they might feel the beat of your heart and the warmth of your breath, the breath of life surrounding them in peace. And hear us now as we pray the words, the most important prayer words that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory forever. Amen. So the story may seem like it's all about fairness. We may argue about fairness. But in reality, it's about generosity, about compassion, about making sure that everyone has enough. Enough. So go out into the world to look for ways not to see if your bowl has more in it than the other guy's, but that both bowls have enough. And go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit go out with all of you now and always. Amen.